Amen. And that prayer earlier was for Kaylin. Father, thank you for all that you do in all of our lives, and thank you that you're actively involved in all of our lives. We bless you today because you alone are God. We're so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful for your love. So grateful for your Son. He gave his life a ransom for us all. We celebrate Jesus here today. And all the saints said, amen. You may be seated. I want to dismiss the children to Children's Church. Amen.
Randy, take out the first song in the set. For time's sake. I just realized that we had an anniversary that we didn't show because we didn't have the information. Victoria, tomorrow's your anniversary, is that correct? Today. Okay, we need to get you one of those little papers to fill out. Happy anniversary, so we can get your birthdays and stuff in there. Oh. Okay, so we're going right to How Great Thou Art. And if you feel like standing again, that's fine. If you're tired and need to sit down, that's fine. Worship how you feel comfortable.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When through the and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the bird and my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Son, not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how
our world. sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. You may be seated. Pastor Rod, would you come? We didn't get you mic'd, did we? We didn't get you mic'd, did we?
Oh, that's good. This is good.
Praise the Lord. We could go home now and have been to church. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to. What a God. What a God. I'm going to share today about getting rid of some of our baggage. And it's going to be an upper, not a downer. I just want to let you know that. But you know, people carry around garbage. The world and its people are in a huge mess right now. There's discouragement, there's despair, there's anguish, there's grief. Depression and all of these run rampant in the world. And unfortunately, even some in the church.
I don't know where it is. You're right. Oh, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? Say it again.
No, I don't know.
Michael, which one is starting to say? Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, from the back.
Comes from the back.
It's different when you do your own.
All right.
Thank you. Oh my, that's loud. Hallelujah. Well, that leaves both my hands free so I can wave and carry on. Hallelujah. Anyway, even people in the church are being overwhelmed and overcome by baggage. And it's the baggage that the enemy keeps bringing and puts on us. But,
amen.
But God has the answer, and the answer is Jesus. And it's not an answer, it's the answer. It's not an answer, it's the answer. In John's Gospel, from the beginning with the 13th chapter, remember that begins with Jesus humbling himself and washing the disciples' feet. From then on, Christ is giving his last minute instructions to the disciples. His last minute instructions, because what? He's going to be separated from them. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be raised from the dead. And he's going to ascend to heaven. And he's going to leave them there to speak the gospel. And so this is his last time with them alone together. And so he is teaching them. And that's really what John 13, 14, 15, and 16 is all about. And then 17 is that he's praying his prayer to the Father, and he wants his disciples to hear it. This whole, that all of these passages of Scripture are huge, because this is the time that he's leaving. And you know, even when people have a babysitter come, what do they want to do? Last minute things that they want to do, they give them last minute instructions before they leave. And Jesus is leaving his babies, and he's going to give them the last minute instructions. So chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17
are all about his last minute instructions. And this verse that we're going to begin which is John 16:33, this occurs after the instruction and right before the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And it says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." There's a promise. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you look at this, and if we don't need to put it up here, but if we back up into John 13 a little bit further, Jesus is teaching them, and his disciples said, "Lo, now you are speaking plainly. You are not using a figure of speech or a parable. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." And Jesus says, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Amen. We're never alone, because the Father's with us. And then he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, when we look at this situation, I want us to just look up here and look at the word tribulation there. Here's what tribulation means. This is from the Greek lexicons. Tribulation, trouble, woe, affliction, anguish, distress. All these are pressures from outside. All these are pressures from outside. That's why people burn out, because they feel all the pressure from outside and they can't keep up with themselves. Now, but notice what it says here. It says, "In the world you have tribulation, but, here's what but means. For starters, it means no. It means nevertheless. It means notwithstanding. In other words, what it means is this. After the word but, as we say but, it negates what preceded it. It obliterates it. The sun is shining, but it won't shine. Okay? It's going to change. So here what he's saying is, in the world you have tribulation, but forget about it. That's wiped out now. Here's the promise. Take courage. I have overcome the world. Yes. See, it doesn't matter what precedes the but if you read, "Take courage. I've overcome the world." So, let's look to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and verse 28, because Jesus knows that we're having these problems. He says, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. One translation puts it this way, come to me, all who are overworked, and I will give you rest. He was going to said what? In me, I've told all you things so that you will have but peace. The only time you're going to be able to rest is if you have peace. If you don't have peace, you aren't going to get very much rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's what we're doing this morning. We're learning from Jesus. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Keep those words in mind. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. The here where it says, my yoke is easy, it means one of the meanings of that word is pleasant. My yoke is pleasant and light. You know what light means? Light. It means not heavy. Okay? You know, sometimes it means the same thing in Greek. Anyway, so what we're seeing here is, he's saying, look, I'm humble in my soul. I'm humble in my heart. But if you come to me and you take on my yoke, it's easy and it's light. It's pleasant. That's a lot better than being in distress, to be in something pleasant. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, calls the yoke the yoke lined with love. The yoke lined with love. Why? Because he's overcome the world. You know, Jesus didn't have to overcome the world for himself. He already, he created it. What's there to overcome? He created it. He overcame it for us. For us. So he says this, my yoke is easy and my load's light. Now what does he say? Come to me. That's the first thing. What's the solution? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, with oxen and horse and horses and everything else, when there's a team of them, they've got to work as a team. And if one of them gets injured or something, and they've got a four horses that they have been running together, they bring another horse in there, that horse has got to be trained to run as a team. And this is what Jesus said, come and learn from me. Team up with me. Because this yoke is not going to be hard. This is a yoke lined with love. Now, this where it says, you shall find rest for your souls. Where are most people troubled these days? In their souls. In their souls. That's where the distress comes from. That's where the anguish comes from. That's where the depression comes from. It's in the soul. And he says, look, right here, listen, you shall find rest for your souls. Now, that's a quote from the Old Testament. And Jeremiah 6:16 is the verse that he's quoting there. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient path. The old way, the old path, where the good way is. You know, lots of times we say, boy, I really look for the good old days. We have a tendency to say that. But this is the Bible saying it now. This is different. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you, what? Shall find rest for your souls. What's the last part of that verse say? People said, we will not walk in it. Who do you think you are, God? You think you can work it out better than I can? Are you kidding me? That's sad to me. I couldn't believe it when I read it. I went back just to check the reference. And there it was. We will not walk in it. Really? Well, it appears to me from the scriptures that we've seen so far that we have a part to play. And that part is to decide that we will take an ancient path and walk in it according to God's word. From the foundations of the world, it was determined by God that Jesus would overcome the world. And he did. It has been done by the yoke of the cross. He's overcome it. We're battling it. What's wrong with this picture? We're battling it alone. We're not yoked. Because if we were yoked, wouldn't be heavy, wouldn't be burdensome, wouldn't be hard, wouldn't be impossible. We can only do it through Christ's finished work. We can only accomplish it through Christ's finished work. and being Christ-like. We can only accomplish it, we can only get rid of the garbage through Christ's finished work and by being Christ-like. Now, I'm not laying a big deal on you here with this being Christ-like. How did Christ handle it? What does he say here? He says, he says here, "Oh, I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and what? Humble in heart." Humble in heart. That's how we're going to do it. Is we humble ourselves and admit we can't do it. That's being humble before God. If you could do it, folks, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Amen. But we can't. He did it for us. Okay? Now, let's see about Peter, what Peter has to say. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Do you think Peter has some idea of what it'd be like to have anguish? Do you think Peter would have some reason to be feeling guilty? Do you think Peter would have some problem dealing with what he had done when he denied vehemently Christ three times and left him alone? What could we have done that could have been worse than that? What situation could we have created? You see, lots of times we're just tempted and fall into the temptation of being spiritually arrogant. That what we've done is too hard for God to overcome. People come and say, "I don't see how God can forgive me." Well, that's because you're not God. But he does forgive. And if you'll humble yourself and admit that you need him in your life, you know what? All of a sudden, life's going to be easier. Not totally free of problems, but easier. Because as Christians, then what we need to do is once we have him in our lives, we need to get in yoke with him and stay there. And quit trying to solve it all by ourselves instead of just trusting him that he's overcome it for us. So we are here, and here's what Peter says. What's the first thing he says here in verse 6? What was that? What else? Humble yourselves. Under the mighty hand of God, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, that he may get you out of your mess at the proper time. Well, I don't know everything about what that proper time is going to be, but I know when it's going to be is after we have humbled ourselves. And I tell you, if we get that far, we're practically home free. So, we need to be humbling ourselves. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all. You know what all means? All. That's good. All your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you so much that he overcame the world for you. Casting all your care upon him. The Amplified says it this way. Because he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He's always there. He's always on your side. Okay, we're going to look at Philippians 4. This is in command form, by the way, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. This isn't a suggestion from God. It's a command. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If there's anything we need to be doing to ourselves today, is we need to be guarding our minds, because they are constantly under bombardment. It's up in here, folks, where the battle is. That's why the anxiety comes, because we just aren't doing it. Okay? And by the way, I'm going to just tell you this right now. I really thought that this message was for you. And it didn't dawn on me until today that it's for me. So I'm just letting you in on it, okay? I'm going to be a little more specific in just a minute, but here's the thing. Now, so be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, shall guard. That's a strong word in the Greek. It's garrison. It's not just a little wimpy guard, but it's a garrison. Will garrison your mind and your spirit. Your mind and or your heart. Okay, now, notice this. It says the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. I've got a definition here, if you could put that, if that'll come up now, of definition from Thayer, Joseph Thayer's, there it is. Now look at this. The peace of God, according to Joseph Thayer, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is. So let's just look at some key words here. First part again, please. The peace of God, according to Jesus, that tranquil state of a soul. We understand the soul can be a living being, but let's make sure we understand. Soul is the mind and the will and the emotions. Okay? Assured of its salvation through Christ. Our soul has to be assured of it. And so, because of that, and therefore, fearing nothing from God. Why? Because there's no reason to fear anything from God. And being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. I'm telling you that I'm convinced from the Word of God. I think that all of us have been in that situation where we have known and we have been totally at peace, because we fall into that state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ and fearing nothing from God, and you really don't give a rip what the things are going on around you right now. Whatever earthly lot that happens to be. We're peaced out. Okay? Amen. Just peaced out. Okay. Now, if you would put John 16:33 from the Amplified. It really helped me a lot when I saw this. And remember, Jesus is saying, I've told you that. Okay. 16:33. Yeah, 16:33. What did I say? Anyway, yeah. I've told you these things, but it starts with that. And then the last part of it here is, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. All right? Now, and then it says what? In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. It also says this, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. He accomplished it all for us through his obedience to his Father's plan of redemption, which was finished by his death, his resurrection, and his power. soul. Okay, we're beleaguered by anxiety. We're beleaguered by problems. We're beleaguered by distress. We're overcome with depression. Okay, first of all, let's humble ourselves. And that means quit thinking about ourselves and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And accept the fact that if we roll it over onto His shoulders, if we join up in the yoke with Him, He's the one that's carrying the weight. And for Him, it's easy, it's light, it's pleasant. Because you know what? He's able to do what He went to the cross to do, and is get you out of a mess. It was for that joy of being able to do that that He faced the cross. Because that joy was set before Him. So I want to tell you this. It's a done deal. When Jesus said, "It is finished," you know what? It is finished. It doesn't go on from there. So let's daily. I think it's going to take daily. Daily get rid of our baggage. Daily get rid of our baggage. Let's cast it away. In order to do it, we're going to have to first what? Humble ourselves before God. Just humble ourselves before God and say, "God, take this mess away from me. Cast it off. Roll it off." There are similar scriptures in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, where it talks about casting away. Roll it over. Roll it over. And He can handle it because He's already overcome it. So let's give God all the glory, all the honor, all of the praise for putting us in a position where all we have to do is just simply roll it over to Him. Humble ourselves and roll it over to Him. What a God.
Amen.
What a God. What a demonstration of love. And it was all planned. The whole thing was planned. And Jesus was so looking forward to being able to say, "It is finished." And you know what? If we'll humble ourselves and we'll roll over on Him. Now, I'm going to tell you this now. The reason I found out today that it was really about me is because one of these words in here where it was discussing what this anguish and all this anxiety is was called frustration. And I am here to tell you, I'm humbling myself not only before God but before you all, I don't handle frustration very well. Let me put it this way. I have not handled frustration. Matter of fact, if you probably don't want to do it, but if you talk to Jill, I don't do anything with frustration except let it handle me. But God. And so thank you for listening to my sermon to me. And I hope you gain something from it too. But it's just going to be different. I don't know how long it'll take, but it's going to be different. Because if I can just daily start humbling myself before God and saying, "I'm rolling over this frustration onto You, Lord." Because all it does is make my life miserable and a couple of people around me from time to time. Okay. You say it's too simple. It's scriptural. I don't care what else you call it. And once you know it's scriptural, it doesn't matter what else people call it. Okay. So I just want to encourage you today. We don't have to carry around all this baggage because of Jesus. So I encourage you. I'll be going walking along with you daily. But let's get rid of it. It's not intended that we carry it. He wants us free of it. If you have anything that you might want to pray about, the elders will be up here, and we'll be happy to pray with you. If you've had a realization that you really have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that we can make it real for you. Amen. And that you'll know. So anything that you might want to deal with some help, we're here to help you. But I encourage you above all that when it's just you and God, that we just do what the Word says to do and reap the benefits of it. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Rock.
It is well.
2 minutes, there's a little short song I want to teach you before we go. I couldn't bring it up on the screen, but it's called I Cast All My Cares On You. It's 4 lines, and I just want you to leave knowing this song. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Sing it with me. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time that I don't know what to do, I cast all my cares upon you. And any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. I will cast all my cares upon you. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy.